persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, my dear friends. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Did Trump intentionally insinuate a suggestion in the minds of his followers that they should assassinate Hillary Clinton? Did Obama inadvertently but obliquely reveal the margin of voter fraud in our rigged voting system? You know, in his response to Trump's concerns about that. Muslims in the Olympics. One, mocking the country she represents in the Games. And the other, arrested on charges of attempted rape at the Games. And then in the Who's Surprise department, DOJ's Lynch rejects FBI request to investigate the Clinton Foundation. And then finally, in the What's to be Done department, we'll explain why we are past national days of prayer or other ecumenical rallies to answer our spiritual needs in this country, and tell you just exactly what it's really going to take to turn this country back from the brink. Folks, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
All right. Did Trump intentionally insinuate that his supporters should assassinate Hillary Clinton if she wins the election and appoints justices who would strip us of our Second Amendment rights? All right. What did Trump say this time? At a rally, Wilmington, North Carolina, I think it was August 9th, Trump said, quote, Hillary wants to abolish, essentially abolish the Second Amendment, by the way, and if she gets to pick, if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment, people, maybe there is, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that will be a horrible day. Now, trying to lay it out the way Trump does in these convoluted half sentences is challenging. But anyway, that's what he said, and that's more or less the way, you know, you've got to see the video clip. And if you get my notes, you'll see a link there for that. Otherwise, you really can't make a judgment about his apparent intention from just simply reading his statement. The MSM are accusing him of calling for the assassination of Hillary. What? Now, folks, that's just weird. It's, well, it's sort of like back in 2008. When Hillary was in a political dogfight with Obama for the DNC nomination back then, and Obama was pulling out in a strong lead ahead of her, and then she was asked in May why she stayed in the race. Hillary, rather infamously, said, quote, my husband did not wrap up the nomination in 1992 until he won the California primary somewhere in the middle of June. We all remember Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in June in California, end quote. What? One of their own, the Huffington Post, opined in an article headline that summarizes it very well, quote, journey to the center of Hillary Clinton's mind, quote, within the quote, why would I drop out before Barack Obama is assassinated, end quote, and end quote. So they're quoting Hillary as saying, why would I drop out before Barack Obama is assassinated? Of course, HuffPost knew that Hillary did not say, why should I drop out before Barack Obama is assassinated? But that's the way they wanted to spin what she said. So it's okay. You know, it's okay. Nothing wrong here. Nothing wrong. It's okay, said the Muslim refugee parents of their seven-year-old child who raped a five-year-old little girl, little infidel in the neighborhood at knife point. It's okay. It's okay. Everything's fine. Don't call the police. Anyway, according to the very politically correct column of WAPO, that's Washington Post, MSNBC, and Politico, and virtually every other news outlet came to Obama's defense back then and accused Hillary of insinuating that Obama could be assassinated in June. Well, what else could she have meant? But as far as this being proof against a double standard, as Kellum alleges, you know, since the MSM accusing Trump of insinuating a suggestion to his followers that the Second Amendment people, whoever they are, I mean, I kind of figured the Second Amendment applies to every American, so we're all Second Amendment people, aren't we? Kellum argues that since the people accusing Trump of insinuating Hillary's assassination are the same people that accuse Hillary of insinuating Obama's assassination, well, then the accusation that there is a double standard at work here in the MSM is obviated. That is, beyond further discussion. Obviously wrong. They like to do that, you know. They like to declare their conclusions, obviate any further debate. However, what is obvious is that the MSM were championing their Muslim Afalia. That's pretty close to the Arabic pronunciation for the word tyrant. While today they're championing their Jezebel. That's a good old English word. A bit of a stretch for those perhaps not familiar with Bible history, whose conception of Jezebel is associated almost exclusively with the idea of whoredom and so on. But in truth, that's not what I'm saying. Jezebel's whoredom was of another kind. She was the wife of Ahab, king of Israel, who initiated major religious and cultural reforms within Israel to reshape the country and the culture in the image of her pagan Zidon, to lead the people into Baalism, which is ancient ecumenicism. Get my book, The New Cart Church, to learn more about that. Trump's friends are rallying to his defense. Hannity got Trump on the show and offered this as an explanation of his meaning. Quote, obviously, you're saying that there's a strong political movement within the Second Amendment, and if people mobilize and vote, they can stop Hillary from having this impact on the court. But that's not how the media is spinning it, end quote. Now, our politically correct column of WAPO would say, this is bogus. Why? Well, because as anyone can see, Trump's statement was to what would be done after Hillary's elected. Right? Of course, right. But Hannity's comment applies in either case. In other words, Hannity's suggestion is valid if you take his meaning to be that depending on how those who oppose Hillary vote, well, they can either stop Hillary from being elected or put enough Second Amendment supporting representatives and senators in the House to stop her, or use their influence as voters to put pressure on her if she and or her court tries to go after our guns. So the point here is to educate you on how these games are played and how to read these people and how to pay attention. People don't bother actually listening or thinking through. And part of that, I understand, is owing to how fast we have to deal with all this stuff. It comes at us pretty quick, folks. Anyway, Hannity attempts to help Trump clean his shoes from this latest step into the doo-doo. Oh, wow. Well, George has a different way to explain it to help out his friend. He passes it off as a joke. He said, quote, media freaks when Donald Trump jokes about the Second Amendment stay silent when his life is threatened, end quote. Although, I mean, according to this columnist for WAPO, that's what Drudge said. But I can't find it in Drudge's archives. I can't find any corroborating evidence that Drudge actually said those words. I guess, however, it is reasonable to say one could splice together various things Drudge has said about this and come up with a sort of, with this being a sort of summary statement. But you see, the point here is that the state of journalism today is such that you've got to run down everything these people say, even when they put it in quotation marks, perhaps especially when they put it in quotation marks. So Trump supporters are circling the wagons, and Trump is going with whatever friend he's talking to happens to say at the time he's talking to them. When he's with Hannity, he says, yep, that's it. I was thinking about the influence of Second Amendment people, whoever they are. And if he's with Drudge, he'll say, yeah, just a joke. But anyway, I heard and watched the clip. Actually enjoyed the quip. I thought it was clever, and I thought it was actually quite meaningful. And I'll get to that in a moment. But at the risk of looking out my window this week at a gathering of Trumpsters, which does not rhyme with gangsters, haha, holding buckets of hot oil and bags of feathers, it's pretty obvious to me Trump was being Trump and using satire to make a tragic observation of the state of things. I don't think there is any trace evidence in his manner or in his statement or tone that supports the nonsense that he was calling for the assassination of his old friend Hillary Clinton, or of whatever justices she might nominate to the court. And remember, she doesn't appoint justices to the Supreme Court, she nominates them. I mean, assassinations are Clinton's bag, man. Are you watching how many people that oppose the Clintons disappear? The latest was this guy that exposed the DNC gate scandal, Hillary planting operatives in Bernie's camp, whose mission was to sabotage Bernie's campaign from inside. He's that guy WikiLeaks points to as the leak from which, from inside the DNC, from which they got their information. He gets gunned down gangsta style, man. This is terrible. I mean, in the street, blasted with several gunshots and left dead. His wallet and watch and all the other possessions left on his body sprawled on the sidewalk. But, of course, it's passed off as robbery, so we don't know what it is they robbed. But it fuels rumors, does it not, that persist about, well, Vince Foster and so many others. No proof of a Clinton connection here, I know that. But it does seem to burden credulity to think it's mere coincidence that so many people who in one way or another pose a serious threat to the Clintons end up, what's that expression, pushing daisies or feeding worms. On the other hand, liberal MSM personalities can joke about assassinating Trump. I mean, directly joke about ending Trump's campaign by assassination. Yeah, But that's different, of course. Hillary's campaign and her cohorts and the MSM are accusing Trump of calling for the assassination of Hillary. What? This is evidence of paranoia? Well, they're looking over their shoulder? A little conscience bothering them there for their own plan? You know, the Bible says, Bible thump alert, Bible thump alert. All my secularist listeners in France. You heard that France has banned swimwear that is not secularist. Yeah, they banned burkinis, I guess they call them. The burqa for the water. I'll have fun with that later. Love my listeners in Fair France, but you never write. All LGBTQ listeners, beware. All American secular humanists, beware. Freedom from religion supporters, beware. And Mr. Obama, who wants to force Catholics to provide condoms and participate in abortions, and Christians to participate in homosexual marriages and share the restrooms with transgenders, but would never, ever, 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 how many evers did Biden use in his DNC convention speech anyway, ever call for a law requiring Muslims to eat or serve pork? Eh? You ever think about that? Thank you, Lewis. Yeah, watch out. You better get ready to drive your head into the sandcastles of your lies. I'm about to swing the sword of the spirit of truth. Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Okay, let's wrap up the first segment, and here's the point of all of this. My take on Trump's quip is that he is concerned if Hillary gets elected, succeeds at getting anti-gun advocates on the court in sufficient numbers to wipe out the Scalia faction on the court. And by the way, it's another mysterious death of someone who stood squarely in the way of the Obama-Clinton agenda. But anyway, Trump, like many of us, is concerned that the Second Amendment people, and I guess he means those who own guns, will refuse to yield their guns, and we could very well end up in a not-so-civil war in this country over our inalienable right to bear arms and to protect ourselves from a tyrannical government. The good sheriff of Wicomico County in Maryland warns, quote, as long as I'm sheriff in this county, I will not allow the federal government to come in here and strip my citizens of their right to bear arms. I can tell you this, if they attempt to do that, it would be an all-out civil war, no question about it, end quote. Yeah, Wicomico County Sheriff Mike Lewis. I've said as much several times. The polarization in our country is fast moving to the place where I'm afraid gloves are going to be dropped and it's just going to be an all-out brawl. Notice how the Donald tagged his comment. He, at a rally in Wilmington, North Carolina, remember Trump said, quote, Hillary wants to abolish, essentially abolish the Second Amendment, by the way, and if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that will be a horrible day. Now, I don't know why the Donald doesn't just say what he means here. And follow up with a clarification. The joke narrative works to a point because I do think he was being somewhat facetious. But the sadness of it is it's not a very funny joke that the Second Amendment voters could do what the rest of voters could not. What's that mean? I mean, his point was that if Hillary is elected and succeeds at stacking the court with anti-Second Amendment advocate judges, basically he said, well, we've had it. There's nothing you can do, he said. Right? But then he says, although the Second Amendment people, maybe they can do something. So anyway, you see what I mean? And then this was followed with a subtle grin. You have to see the video clip as if, you know, point made or touche. His point was made and taken. He was not calling for violence, but I think he was warning about something many of us are concerned about. What is going to happen if, or perhaps I should say when, the government comes knocking on our doors demanding we turn over our guns? Friends, I don't think that's going to end in a pretty way. I just don't see Americans handing over their guns. I mean, this goes very deep into our culture and faith. Jesus said, procure a sword for self-defense. And the way we see things developing, listen, and gun sales prove this. We're in more need. We see ourselves as being in more need of weapons today to protect ourselves than ever before. All right, I need to take a break. Hold on, my friends. I'll be right back.
Think every American needs a brain massage? We agree. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Did Obama inadvertently, but obliquely, reveal the margin of voter fraud in what Trump describes as a rigged voting system. Obama responded to Trump's expressed concern about voter fraud, saying if Trump is leading in the polls by, what was that he said, 10 to 15 points? Let me grab it real quick. Yeah. If he's up, here it is, quote, if he is up 10 to 15 points on election day and ends up losing, then, you know, maybe he can raise some questions, end quote. Now, of course, Obama assured us that there's no corruption in the IRS, none at all, and that his would be the most transparent administration ever. So you get the idea. Voter fraud goes way back. I mean, all the way back to when politicians bought votes with a shot of whiskey. Generally, however, voter fraud has been only effective in influencing local elections. Yeah, as with mob bosses in Chicago or some union-controlled local communities or whatever, where, you know, it's all, hey, you're going to vote for my guy if you know what's good for you. But voter fraud in national elections has been pretty much diluted by two things. First, the amount of voter fraud attempted pretty much dissipates in the sheer volume of votes cast. And then second, there is enough voter fraud on both sides to pretty much cancel each other out. However, over the years, slowly but surely, community organizers of the Saul Alinsky type and those with the values of, say, Hillary Clinton or Obama have labored relentlessly to construct voting blocks that are virtually controlled by unions and others. I mean, entire demographics are owned by a certain political party, and the willingness to engage in cheating is far more prevalent and more pronounced on one side than it is on the other. The Democratic Party is saturated with secularists, pragmatists, Marxist ideologues. Ends justify the means type so much so it has penetrated the old cultural barriers of Christian values and ethics and has even broken them down altogether so that the radical left is aggressive in advocating and organizing voter fraud. And the problem is practically systemic. I mean, it's overwhelming the system, which is Alinsky's plan, right? Overwhelm the system so that every effort to bring attention to the problem is hammered down immediately, you know, scoffed, ridiculed, and any laws proposed to do something about this are attacked viciously and vigorously. And I mean, we can't even get reasonable laws passed to protect the integrity of the ballot. I mean, simple, sensible laws like voter ID. And who opposes these laws? It's always the left. I mean, it's tied to the broader problem of our porous borders. And you know what I'm saying? This is a real serious problem. And I've been warning about this for several years. The nation is polarized between right and left ideologies, almost 50-50, so that now voter fraud can actually make a difference on a national level. Obama's statement probably was a sarcastic way to dismiss Trump's expressed concerns about voter fraud. Or was it? I mean, I've watched this guy closely for the last 7+ years. It's not unlike him at all to throw something like this out there. You know, he's a community organizer. He knows the rigging on the vote like no one else. I wonder if, in fact, the margin of voter fraud that they've figured out is right at about 10 to 15 points in the polls. In other words, I wonder if the Dems don't really get concerned unless the spread gets into double digits, because that's when it gets beyond what they can cover by voter fraud. Now, this is all going somewhere, so listen up. In the Who's Surprised department, Obama's DOJ leader Lynch rejects FBI request to investigate the Clinton Foundation. Now, we all know that the DNC was hacked, and we know that they want us to believe it was done by the Russians, when there is very good reason to believe it was an inside job. A Democratic with a conscience let it out that Bernie was intentionally sabotaged from the inside by the Hillary campaign and showed proof from these emails. Of course, all the attention is focused on how outrageous it is that the DNC was hacked and that Hillary's server was hacked. You know, that's where the we're all appalled and so on. Not that Hillary and her campaign was complicit in a shameful scheme to undermine Bernie, along with all the other very disgusting revelations that have come out from this. Remember, Watergate was about a president who had a break-in for political reasons at Watergate. Let's direct our disgust and our outrage where it really belongs. How dare anyone hack their emails and reveal these things? So the FBI is concerned about revelations they have received implicating the Clinton Foundation in allegations of corruption, quote, stemming from Hillary Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State, end quote. So now hear this. The FBI asks the DOJ to open a case to investigate these allegations of corruption that the FBI takes seriously and believes are sufficiently credible to warrant a formal investigation. But Obama's DOJ, Puppet Lynch, you know, Tarmac Lynch, denies the FBI's request. And the source for this asks, quote, why are the Clintons allowed to continue to skirt the laws that you and I have to abide by? Do you really want to know the answer to that question? Well, Isaiah 59:12-15 says, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. And why is this? For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment, end quote. You see, this is the root from which everything we're talking about today is springing up in our culture. Let's go to the What's to be Done department. My friend, we are past National Days of Prayer or other ecumenical rallies to address this. I mean, it's hard for some of my listeners to grasp this, most of you, not all, of course. But listen, all of us, we've grown up in a culture informed by the Bible and shaped by the Bible, but also in a culture that's been transforming and that has forgotten the fact that we're Bible-based. In other words, we have a whole lot of Christians and non-Christians who don't understand the relationship between what they hold as traditional views and the roots of those views in biblical truths. As a consequence, they've allowed themselves to drift away from the authoritative source for these values, the only support for them, just as our framers consistently warned us. So now we find them being challenged and cast down into the street and trampled on by, well, many of our young people, who, by the way, know not what they do. Because, frankly, we've betrayed them. And then especially by those in the MSM and in both the Democrat and the Republic Rat parties. Both parties. Listen, the establishment gopers are trying to purge their party of any remaining Christian constitutional conservatives. And I won't have time to address that today, but we're going to be forced to establish a Christian constitutional conservative party in order for us to have any kind of real influence or voice in American politics in the future. And I'll be preaching on this topic Sunday night at the Lighthouse in the Issachar Report. Don't miss it. It is sure to be one of the most powerful Issachar Reports I've ever presented. Sunday night, 6 p.m., and then we'll meet and greet afterwards with some eats and drinks and fellowship. Sunday nights, 6 p.m., the Issachar Report. So what is to be done? In that passage a bit earlier in Isaiah 59, God does go on to say that he looked for a man to stand in the gap and that he was amazed that he couldn't find anyone. My friend, here is what is needed. Men and women of God who will stand in the gap for this country. But look, it's going to come from the remnant who have not kissed Baal. Jeremiah complained against Judah 12 times because they had gone after Baal. You know, of all the sins Jeremiah decried against them, that's the only one they denied. And yet, that was the fundamental or basic error that alienated them from God, who was their only hope and is ours. Baalism was ancient ecumenicism. It was the idea that everyone worshiped the same God, only by a different name and in different ways. You know, you've got your Baal, I've got my Baal. The Baal of Jezebel was Ashtoreth, the Baal of the Jews was Jehovah, that kind of notion. Well, this idea has taken over modern Christendom. The belief is that we need to unite under the banner of Baal. But of course, no one would use that name. But they will say we need to understand that we all worship the same God, which is the same idea. And they'll push this idea that unity is more important than our differences over doctrines. And frankly, today, it's really difficult to argue against this point because this notion is so deeply embedded in the consensus thinking of Christendom, it's accepted as a truism. And yet, it is completely false, and it is the roadblock to revival. The so-called JWs, for example, define God fundamentally differently than Orthodox Christianity has understood him from the Bible since the apostles. They deny the doctrine of the Godhead. They deny that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. The Mormons believe God is a man, and that he has wives in heaven, and that he procreates spirit babies with these wives, and that these spirit babies are sent into the world and babies born to mankind. And of course, there's not one lick of this to be found anywhere in the Bible. But it's what they believe about the nature of God, if you get down into really the nuts and bolts of it. Yet that is contrary to what the Bible teaches. Do I need to talk about the Muslim view of Allah, who, according to them, cannot have a son? So what does that do to the whole Son of God thing? Or the Hindu, who believe deity is represented throughout nature in thousands of forms. Or Buddhism, that believes deity is a state of consciousness that's formless and immaterial at all. And how can anyone say that all of these worship the same God? Jesus explained to the woman at the well that she did not know what she worshipped, and that salvation was of the Jews, and that God desired to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Many Christians believe the Bible gets in the way of unity, that God's word separates us rather than unites us. And in a sense, they're right. They believe that our unity should be based on his name, that we all rally around the name Jesus, and not his word, which they say divides us. His name unites us. His word divides us. That's practically their mantra. The Bible says God has exalted his word above his name. Come on. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And Daniel called God's written word the scripture of truth. Now, this is where a lot of you just tune me out. Fine. I'm going to tell you the truth anyway. Here is what modern Christians refuse to deal with. Jesus said it himself, that he came to send a sword, which is his word that proceeds out of his mouth, and the sword divides, he said. Check your Bible. Every single time God enters in to do a work among his people, he calls for a separation of his people to him and to his word before he will act. So here's what needs to be done. God's people need to return to the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. But wait a minute. That's beyond our power to make it happen. We cannot wake up the remnant. We can't force them to act in the way that they should. And there are many devils at work confusing and holding even God's people in bondage to lies, deceiving and being deceived. Friend, our warfare, as you know, is a spiritual one. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers. And Jesus explained that some devils require fasting and prayer to overcome. So if you want to know what you personally can do to make a significant difference in this war for the soul of our one nation under God, you can fast and pray. Now, I am going to enter into a prolonged period of prayer and fasting, and by a prolonged fast, I mean a minimum of 3 days. I want as many of you as will to join me. At least a meal, and hopefully some of you will join me for more serious and extended fasting and praying for our country, or for a meal each week for a while, whatever. You see, we need to fast that truth will be taken up out of the street and set again upon the pillar of truth that Christ Jesus established for it in the earth, and that is his church. Now, some of you probably have questions about biblical fasting and how to do it and what to watch out for and some tips along those lines. And you might want to know exactly what is it that fasting does and understand it better. Because believe me, it will help you so much if you understand fasting from a biblical point of view. Now, I have written a book that's been widely distributed. It's titled Kingdom Power by Prayer and Fasting, and you can have it for $5. That includes shipping to anywhere within the United States. I'll have to ask you to help me with additional shipping costs for those who want me to send this to you from outside the country. You call 1-888-770-8000, leave your phone number, and tell me you want the book. And I'll have my secretary call you for your payment and shipping information. And you are able to purchase the book over the phone by credit card. Or you can arrange to have the book shipped to you with an invoice, and then you pay by check or money order when you get the book. Either way is fine by me. If you think this is... Please, if anybody out there thinks this is a simple way to sell my book, give me a break. I am really, really sorry that you have that opinion of me. And my recommendation to you is don't buy the book. I don't think it'll do you any good. And if some of you are of that mindset, you know, why I don't simply just make it free to everybody. Look, I don't believe in doing that. Now, I'm not going to bribe you to fast and pray. That's silly. $5 is not going to break anybody out there. And besides, surely you understand that it's $5 for you, but it's $5 multiplied by the number of you that call me for me, okay? I mean, let's just be real about this. Besides all of that, in my experience, someone who does not invest, at least minimally, in something like this, usually they're not serious about it, and they're not likely going to take the book seriously. They're not probably going to even going to read it. And I'm just not interested in giving books away. They're going to sit on a shelf somewhere or become coasters. Anyway, and also, it lets me know that you are serious. Now, you can purchase the book online at our bookstore if you prefer to do that, but it's going to cost you a little more to do it that way. If you prefer, however, you can go to our website at santamarialighthouse.org, click on the bookstore icon, and you'll find it there. My friends, I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you call, let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000, that's 1-888-770-8000, and leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. If you're outside the country or you prefer, you can email me by going to our website at thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. Don't forget to order your book, Kingdom Power by Prayer and Fasting, and come on by to the Lighthouse this Sunday night for the Issachar Report. You'll be glad you did. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
To make a donation, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com or mail your gift to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.